Because when you start doing this every day, you're going to find that your day changes. It really does. It changes your whole day. If I challenge you to do this. Go 4 days with listening to praise and worship every morning, being the very first thing that hits your ears. And then take 2 days and don't listen to praise and worship the first thing in the morning. And you're going to see a distinct difference in your day. Now, you're doing the Word, right, in the mornings? If you go a day without reading the Word, so you go 7 days reading the Word of God or listening to the Word of God, and then take 2 days off, your day's different.
Yes, oh, yeah.
And the reason is because rabbit ears, the whole thing is you and I paying attention to Him. He pays attention to us all the time. This is why Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 is so powerful. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So if you want your path to be directed, that means you have to acknowledge Him. What does it mean to acknowledge Him? Oh, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with? I'm acknowledging Him. When the praise and worship is the first thing that comes on, or the Word of God is the first thing that comes on, before you watch any TV or read any newspaper or listen to your spouse not get angry or your kids start to scream, you start listening, all of a sudden your day, your antennas are going up and you're starting to really pay attention to the Holy Ghost. Your day shifts. This is what God wants to do in your life. And this is why praise and worship is so powerful. A lot of people say, Pastor, you know, it seems like every church does praise and worship first and then their Word second. Why do they do that? Because we're trying to get everybody here. Come on, get tuned in. So when the Word is preached, it's hitting ground that is going to be 100% receptive to the seed of the Word of God, so you have a greater harvest in your life. So praise and worship isn't something we just do. Well, you know, we should just do that. We should just have a band. I like the lights. Has nothing to do with lights, has nothing to do with the band. The whole purpose for praise and worship is getting you and I to the place where we are receptive, paying attention to, we are acknowledging the Lord, and as we're acknowledging Him, then when the Word, the seed, hits the ground of our spirit, then they will have the greatest growth from that seed. When that does not occur, you will find that the Word could be dynamic, and you'll walk away with nothing. Watch this, I can prove it. Remember when the woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus? The Bible says that she said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be well. Now remember, it was illegal for her to be in the presence of people. She was oozing fluid. It was illegal for anybody who was oozing any type of fluid out of any pore to be in the presence of people without screaming unclean. If they did not do that, then by law, people around them were supposed to pick up stones and stone them in the head till they were dead. So this woman said, if I can touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be well. She made a declaration of faith. She positioned herself for her miracle. And then we don't know how she got through there, but she somehow squeezed her way up and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And the Bible said that power or virtue flowed out of His clothing. Remember, the anointing is tangible, transferable. She touched the clothing of Christ, and the power of God came out of, the anointing came out of the cloth, went into her body, and dried up the blood that had been flowing for 18 years. And Jesus stopped. Who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples said, what do you mean, who touched you, Jesus? Can't you see all these people thronging you? What does the word throng mean? Throng mean they were so close, they were bumping up against Him, they were touching Him, they were all the way surrounding Him. So something happened with this woman that did not happen with the rest of the crowd. Because she positioned herself, acknowledged Him, she positioned herself that when she touched Him, the power of God came out. So the power of God wasn't being released in His clothing to just anybody, but only to the one who drew it out. That's why people can come to church and walk away with nothing. That's why one person says, oh my goodness, that was the most dynamic word. Pastor, thank you so much. That changed my life. And somebody else says, well, that was a kind of a boring sermon. How is that? Because it's determined by the posture and the position of your heart. So praise and worship, that's why we do it first. So that your spirit man is being yielded to the Lord, and now you're able to get into the Barak mode when we get into worship, and now your spirit is keen and tuned to the Word of God that is life, the Rhema word, the Word of life, that will get into your spirit man, and that seed will be planted on good ground and therefore bring 30, 60, 100 fold. So there's a need for us to recognize that praise and worship isn't about you and I singing songs, because how many of you have really bad voices in here besides me? We should have our own choir. That's what I think. The choir, the misfit choir, we could call ourselves. The fact is that to God it doesn't matter how well you sing, it matters how well you're positioned. So when we're talking about in the morning, one of the very first things that you should do is do praise and worship. The reason for that is we are positioning ourselves, acknowledging Him, and He will direct our path. That means our day will go smoother. Our day will go better. I want to remind you that the word anointing means to smear. What do you mean smear? Well, it's oil. And they took oil and smeared it, which means it covered every area that it touched. So what we're striving to do with praise and worship is to surrender, acknowledge Him, and then have the presence of the Holy Ghost smear us with the anointing that wherever we go, we will make a difference on this planet. Not just suck air, make a few dollars and go home. It's about you and I changing lives. It's about you and I changing lives. Jesus, I almost felt like I need to get saved all over again. Now, praise and worship are not the same things. It's not the same. And a lot of people don't know the difference. So I want to break down the difference for you. What's the difference between praise and worship? Because they are different. Now, we know, according to the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, we went back to the Psalms 100, verse 4 and 5, enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generation. So understanding that when we're going to praise Him, what are we doing? We're thanking Him for what He has done. Praise is about what He has done. Now, how many of you are saved? How many of you are glad you're saved? You got something to praise for. Amen? How many of you, man, God saved you from a lot of nasty stuff? How many of you got something to praise for? How many of you drove here tonight? How many of you had gasoline to drive here tonight? You got something to praise for. Amen? How many of you got hair?
Almost.
You got something to praise for. You got some. How many can see? You got something to praise for. How many can hear? Some better than others. We believe in miracles. Amen. You got something to praise for. How many can walk? You got something to praise for. Honestly, we are so spoiled that we forget how blessed we actually are. We forget how good we have it. How many of you own a pillow? How many of you have more than one pillow on your bed? You got no pillows? Joel, no pillows in your house?
No, I raised my hand for one.
Oh. How many got three pillows on your bed? Wow. How many got one of those body pillows? Dear Lord. How many got a dog in there, too? No. Two of them. Watch now. We are blessed. Amen. How many of you ate today? You got something to thank Him for. How many of you ate more than once? How many of you ate too much? Don't raise your hand. How many got shoes? Socks? How many got underwear? Everybody, raise your hand quick. Come on, man. We're all so blessed. We all have so much to thank him for. We all have so much to give him praise for. There's nobody in this room that should ever be complaining.
Amen.
Amen.
Really, there's nobody that should ever be complaining. Because if we're complaining, then we know we're looking wrong. We're not looking where we're supposed to be looking. Because listen, complaining, what does it accomplish?
Nothing.
Come on, tell me one thing complaining accomplishes.
Heartache.
Heartache. What else does it accomplish?
Stress.
Stress. Very good.
Talking death.
Very good.
High blood pressure.
High blood pressure. Amen. Say it again. Reduces our faith and disconnects us from God. Exactly. That's what complaining does. So what does it do? Anything positive?
No.
So why do we do it?
We shouldn't.
But why do we? Isn't that crazy when you think about it? Why do we do something we know that is only going to cause death? Well, you don't know what I'm going through, Pastor. But I know that somebody's gone through something worse and made it. Go.
We all complain because we don't see what's in front of us.
Exactly. We are not praising. Because when you're praising, complaining can't come out.
That's true.
Amen.
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 Bad water and good water can't come out of the same fountain.
Right.
Or I should say shouldn't come out of the same fountain.
Yeah, I know.
And the way to keep it out is to be a praiser. Every time you learn how to praise, you're going to find that your problems shrink. Because when you complain, you make them larger. You make them bigger. So stop complaining and be a praiser. You've got nothing to lose. In fact, praising will automatically build your faith. Praising automatically brings the presence of the Lord. And in the presence of the Lord, every miracle that you need is available. So everything changes when you become a praiser. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I might feel like crap today, but I thank you that I open my eyes. I thank you that I have breath, and I thank you that you, Jesus, were sent to heal me. I receive my healing this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You having a fight with your spouse? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that none of us killed each other. And God, I thank you that we still love each other. I thank you that you can make sure our relationship continues to grow. Lord, forgive me for my part in this argument. And I'm talking like every situation in your life can change as you praise. If you complain, it only gets worse. It only grows worse. It only gets bigger. The monster only manifests. But if you will be a person of praise, you will find that everything around you will transition. This is why praise and worship cannot be a Sunday experience. This is an everyday lifestyle, because how you set the momentum for the day determines your direction for the day.
Amen.
Anybody ever run so fast that you couldn't stop and you kind of overtook yourself and fell on your head?
Yes.
Anybody besides me?
Yes.
It's not fun, is it? It's like you're trying to say to yourself, slow down. Slow down, you're going too fast. Gotta make. But you're running so fast that all of a sudden you're realizing, oh my goodness, I can't stop and I can't keep up with myself. And then all of a sudden, boosh. Listen, man, you've got to be people that are so filled with praise, because when you are, what happens is you don't have to keep falling on your head.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So praise is a major part. Acts chapter 16, I love this verse dealing with Paul and Silas. I think we spoke about this a little bit last week about Paul and Silas when they were thrown into the lower prison. They had an opportunity. They could have started blaming God. God, where are you? God, we're preaching your gospel. Look where we ended up. We're in the bottom of the prison. Lord, they beat the snot out of us and our backs are bleeding and they're bloody and they're bruised. God, where were you when that was happening? I don't understand what's going on in our lives. Lord, now we're shackled down the bottom of this prison and there's rats running around. People have been pooping over in that corner and I don't understand why I got to live here. I don't understand what's got to happen in my life. God, where are you? Now, I want you to know that if they had done that, they wouldn't have gotten out of that. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Not hers to God, hymns to God. You're a little slow tonight, aren't you? So here they are. They've been beaten. They've been imprisoned. All for one reason, because they love Jesus. That's the only thing they did wrong. Now they're in this jail. There are rats in this jail. Where they pee, where they poop is where they eat, where they sleep. They're shackled by the arms. They're shackled by the feet. They had every natural reason to complain. But instead, at midnight, they started praising and singing hymns and spiritual songs and praying to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. See, people are always watching how your attitude is going to be, even in the most dismal situations. Remember one time, my wife and I had bought a house on homeowner finance because I was an evangelist. And as an evangelist, I couldn't have gotten a loan because one week I got paid $300. The next week I might have got paid nothing. The next week I might have got paid $3,000. There was no consistency, so no way a bank was going to give us a mortgage. We owned a piece of property that was 2 acres and beautiful 10-foot waterfalls right over by Dave Brown's house out in Lindley. And we put it out on the market, and it sold within like a week. It was amazing. 10 grand cash. We took the money, put it as a down payment on this house, and we were to pay the mortgage to this guy. Well, the house wasn't finished, so we sunk $21,000 into the house. We had 8 acres of land, a brand new home, but man, we had to make it our home because all it had mainly was the shell and drywall. None of the toilets were in, the kitchen wasn't in, nothing like that. So we spent 3 years paying the mortgage, plus putting the $20,000+ into the house. And I'm on the road as an evangelist, and my wife gets a knock on the door. It's the police and the bank saying, "You haven't made a mortgage payment in 3 years, so you're being evicted." Well, we had made a mortgage payment every month. The thing was, the guy we made the mortgage payment to never paid the bank. He kept all the money. So to the bank, we're squatters. My wife calls me freaking out, 3 little babies all under the age of 5 in the house. And now she's being told she's got to get out. My wife worked at Liberty Travel, right up there at the mall. And she would go into that office, and you know, it's pretty devastating. All of a sudden, your entire life is wrapped up, and I had to come home and try to figure out what we were going to do, where we were going to live, what we were going to be able to accomplish. So we found a rental place on Sing Sing Road, and we moved everything. We lost our whole house. Everything was designed the way we wanted it. Everything was done exactly the way we planned it. Everything was exactly how we had. We walked away. We went down to Sing Sing Road, and my wife would go to work. And, you know, the ladies at work knew what was going on. And they would say to Rhonda, "Well, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you all upset? Why aren't you crying all the time?" She goes, "Hey, you know, we serve God, man. God will take good care of us. No matter what the devil's meant for bad, God's going to bring about for good." And they could not understand why she wasn't collapsing. They couldn't understand why her whole world wasn't falling around her. Well, it was because we know God. And we chose to praise through this rather than complain through this. And what happened was, God not only got us a house that was on the market for $120,000, I believe, about $119,000. Then they dropped it to $99,000. Then we offered $78,000 for it, and they took it because what we didn't know is it was going up for bankruptcy. So we got it out of bankruptcy for $78,000, walked in already with $30,000 or $40,000 worth of equity, and now we're turning around selling the house for over double for what we paid for it. God is able. And 4 of the women in that office gave their hearts to Jesus because they saw my wife's testimony and they saw how she lived in the middle of the trouble. You see, listen, the Bible says that the prisoners were listening to them. People are watching you. They're listening to your words. Are you a praiser or a complainer? Suddenly there was a great earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. All of this came through the power of praise. Psalms 9, verse 1. "I will praise you, O Lord, with a whole heart, and I will tell of your marvelous works." Now, there's two types of praise. One's called personal praise, and then one's called public praise. Personal praise is what we're talking about. When you get up in the morning, you have your praise and worship music on, and you get up and you start talking to Jesus, you start singing to Jesus. You know, guys are funny because guys don't like to sing. You know,
I'm not a real singer, you know what I mean? I'm cool.
Listen, you can croak like a frog. God still loves to hear it from you. You know, the Bible says that, well, not the Bible. I stopped myself. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. How many of you know that not everybody's beholding your beauty? But the truth is that God beholds you. God loves to listen to you. So personal prayer is something that you do every single day. Personal praise is something you do every single day. Listen, you know what? You need to take control of what you're listening to on your radio. Some of you listen to crap on the way to work. Well, if you listen to crap, you get to participate with crap. Well, Pastor, it's just a little bit of music. My wife has this greatest example. And one day in church, we actually did. It was really cool. And we took a big pan of brownies, and we took one small half a teaspoon of dog manure and put it into the mix. And then we baked it. Well, we mixed it all together, and we baked it. And you know, they smelled awesome. Well, you can't smell just a little bit of crap. Well, we offered them to everybody, and you know, we told them, you know, there's a little bit of crap in there, but not a lot. And we offered it to everybody, and I don't know, no one would eat them. I don't know why. I mean, it wasn't like three tablespoons. It was a half a teaspoon of dog manure. What's the problem? Yeah, you all laugh, but watch now. How many of you do that with your life? Yeah, come on now. How much crap do you put in your life in substitute of praise, and you think, well, it doesn't smell that bad. It doesn't taste that bad.
Leavening of the Pharisees.
Yeah, little leaven leavens the whole lump. So it's important that you do personal praise. This sets your whole life in order. And then the other one's called public praise. And that is when we come in on a Sunday morning. Now, it's getting much better at His Tabernacle Family Church. I just want to say that. It used to be when it hit the camera side, you know, of the chairs. Anybody in front of the cameras, their hands were lifted and they were in praise and worship. And it was just wow. But anybody behind you were always like this. Hey man, how are you? You have a good night? Yeah, I had a good night.
I'm here, brother.
Yeah. Now it's getting a little bit better. You look back and every once in a while you'll see a set of hands in the air. But honestly, corporate praise is just as powerful and actually more so and important than private praise. You need to get to the altar. Well, why is that? Well, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's just as good back here as it is up there. That means you've never been up there. Because it is stronger up there. The anointing is stronger in the front. Well, why is that? Because hungry people always go to the buffet first. You ever go to Old Country Buffet on a Sunday afternoon with the church folk? Man, they're dressed nice, but they're mean. Man, you touched that corn on the cob. That was their corn on the cob, man. Don't be touching that corn on the cob, man. I'm telling you right now. You know, yeah, they stick you. You know, you run over and you look at their table and they got 10 plates this high. And it's just one guy. You know, and they're up there. They're at that old buffet. They're grabbing their plate and they're in line and they're making sure no one's going to get that last piece of fish. Because they're hungry. They're hungry. So the reason that we always encourage you to come to the front is because hungry people always come to the buffet first. And what happens is when you get up there, your hunger increases because you step into a stronger anointing. I love to see Sunday mornings, nobody sitting past the cameras. Everyone's crowded around the front. You're in my way. Get out of the way. I'd rather have fist fights near the front of the altar than everybody just standing in the back like this.
Well, Henry, how was it for you today?
Come on, man. There's got to be a hunger in your spirit. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. How hungry are you? And when you come into the corporate anointing, the Bible says one shall put 1,000 to flight, but two shall put 10,000. So the more people you get near the front of the altar, the more people in that room that are praising and worshiping publicly, what happens is the anointing increases, the presence of God increases, the palate, spiritual hunger palate increases, and all of a sudden miracles will start happening all over the place. Everyone looks at the pastor for the miracles. But the fact is, I've been on the road for a lot of years. I have found that when I go to any other church as an evangelist, I'll go to a church, you'll see miracle after miracle after miracle, yet you'll stand in your own church and see a few here or there. Not that we're not excited about them. We have great miracles in this church. But man, how many could there be if your hunger was greater? If people publicly praised him to a position where they did not care what anybody would say or think, but they abandoned themselves. They halaled. Remember what halal means? It means to clamor and foolishly praise him. They would just let the floodgates open to their God. Man, it's an electrifying, literally, supernaturally electrifying environment where you can literally see the very power of God being released in every area. You know, it makes a big difference. So public praise is very important. And I want to encourage you to do that. That's found in Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, and Ezra chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Now, what time is it? We were almost going to be early. Worship is different from praise. So praise is about what he's done for you. You're thanking him for what he's accomplished in your life. You're thanking him for what he's done to you, for you, through you. It's thankfulness. I will enter his gates with? Praise. I will enter his courts with?
Praise.
That's praise. Worship is different. Worship is declaring who he is. That's why, you know, sometimes you'll see me get irritated on the altar if the worship team puts together a series of songs and they don't mention Jesus in any of the songs. I get mad. Why? Because this should be about Jesus. His name should be mentioned. I like his name. His name is above every name. You see, worship is declaring that he is the creator. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Bless you.
Thank you.
He is the provider. He is the healer. He is the protector. He is our peace. He is our shepherd. He is our guide. He is our righteousness. Tesid Kanu.
Hey.
He is faithful. He is salvation. He is our deliverer. He is our friend. He is our daddy. He is love. He is holy, holy, holy. Yeah, man, I tell you something. When you begin to worship, it's that Barak spot. Oh, holy. When I say holy, man, I just feel the anointing go, goosh. Why? Because you cannot worship his holiness and not have the presence of God be released in your life. Worship is so powerful because it shifts from thank you for what you've done to, oh, I know who you are. It's hard for people to worship who don't know who God is. And this is why this is about personal relationship with Jesus, not about religion. So the more you know him, oh my goodness, worship just starts coming out. Now remember, the last one is Tehillai. That is when no words can even come out of your mouth, but all of a sudden the presence of the Lord is just so being released that you are now the worship to God. Wow. That anointing is so powerful. The more you worship him, I love being in his presence and worshiping him and talking to him. And, you know, as a pastor, I have to stand up front and be a little cheerleader every once in a while. Okay, let's just tell him we love him. Why should I ever have to say that? Well, I've never said anything out loud. Yeah, can you imagine being in a married relationship and never telling your spouse you love them, just looking them in the eyeballs? They should know what you mean, right? They'll figure it out. Come on. But yeah, we get to church and we won't tell God we love him. He can read my mind. He should figure it out. I'm here, aren't I? I don't know. I mean, I'm here. Isn't that good enough for God? I came. Come on now. You know, we've got to really figure this thing out, because I don't know about you, but I want more of the presence of God in this house. And it isn't come because the preacher prays more. Your preacher prays. Your preacher reads the word. He's not a slug. But it's not the preacher who sets the tone. It's the people that are hungry that set the tone. So the more you get to this place where, and usually find, well, you know, Pastor, this week we did 2 fast songs and then only 1 slow one. It's not fast and slow. Usually praise has a beat to it. Why? Because you got to get your flesh under subjection. You're on your way to church and your kid in the back seat pukes in the back seat. Let's be honest. The day has not started off tremendous. Now you smell like puke. Your kid smells like puke. But you are going to the house of God. And everybody's walking around you. Jesus. We were a little worried about John. He caught a skunk last night. And we were a little worried. We knew the outcome of the skunk situation when he was coming tonight. But he smells pretty good. But you know what changes everything is when you get into the presence of the Lord, man, you start worshiping. The anointing just starts to rise. The Word of God talks about it like this. The water is up to the ankle, then goes to the knee, then goes to the waist. And then you're swimming. And that's the description of, in the major prophets, that's the description of the anointing and the water of God, the presence of God. Where so many of us, because we never worship. I mean, we come to church and like there are still people who sit out in the foyer till after praise and worship is over. Then they come in just to hear the preaching of the word. I appreciate that. Thank God, you know, you're hearing the preaching of the word. But you know what happens is that means you're staying ankle deep. Can you imagine, man? You fly all the way to Aruba. You've spent $1,500 for round trip tickets. You and your spouse, you flew to Aruba, you're staying in the most magnificent hotel that's overseeing the ocean, and you get into your swimsuit and you walk down to the ocean and you walk up to your ankles. Wow, the ocean is awesome. Your spouse is out there swimming, snorkeling, having fun, relaxing, getting refreshed, and here you are. It's 99 degrees. The sun is beating down. You're ankle deep. Wow, this is nice. You're not getting refreshed. See, you got to go knee deep, baby, but even knee deep, don't do it. You got to go waist deep, and it's okay. Maybe you don't swim. Yep. So you stay a little waist deep just to stay safe. But even, you know, even waist deep, you're going to dunk a little. Dunk. Dunk. No dunking? But you know when you really get refreshed? When the sun's beating down and it's hot and you're in the most exquisite location is when you dive in that water. And you are submerged, and you are, that is bath water, man. And all of a sudden, you just, it is so good. What happens in most churches? What happens in most churches is this. People are staying around when it's time for worship. They might actually get this during praise. Ready? They might actually move a foot. I get excited because some people I've never seen move a foot. I just wonder if they're living. So we play some pretty strong, fast music to begin with. Why? We're trying to get you to move your feet. Because what's happened is some of you had the kid puke on the way to church. You had an argument with your spouse on the way to church. Man, some of you, man, you forgot to blow your nose and it's running down your face. You know, some of you, you just, I don't know what your problem is, but you got a problem. And you just stay in ankle deep. And God is saying, no, you don't get refreshed ankle. You get refreshed when you swim. And that means you got to get to the place where, Lord, I just thank you right now that my life is not my own. I surrender. I yada. Amen? Lord, I surrender. I acknowledge you. And today I declare that you are a good God and you are an awesome God. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Tauda. Lord, I thank you that today you have blessed me with breath in my lungs. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I thank you, God, that even though my voice will scare a crow, that God, you still love it in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you love me. God, I thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. Jesus, I thank you that even when I didn't care about you, you pursued me. I thank you when I didn't even believe in you. You set people in my path to make sure that seed was being watered in my life. God, I thank you that I get the opportunity to be called a son of God. I thank you that if I die right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Come on now, can you feel the Shabbat coming on? Hallelujah! You start getting a little excited. But when you get to Barak, it is, oh, Father, thank you for your uncompromising love in my life. I love you, Father God. Thank you that you love me. God, you are love. I thank you, Father, that when I was without hope, you are my hope. I thank you, Jesus, that when I talk to you, you hear every word because you're my big brother. I love you. I thank you that I'm called your friend. All of a sudden, it starts, who he is, it starts coming right out of you. And everything shifts. That's why many times worship is slower, because it allows you to collect yourself and to focus. I just don't know how I'm going to do this. Ma, come on up here. Now, you're the only one I can do this with and not get in trouble. So, you know, say, this is just a story thing. Say this is my girlfriend, right? So, she's my mother. No, really, she's my blood mother. It's my ma. Yeah, so, but say she was my girlfriend. And can you imagine, I love you. I just love you so much. You are so beautiful. You are the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm telling you something, that'd get it, whack. Now, when you praise, you know, I just thank you so much. I just love holding your hand. I love being around you. You know, that you can get away with that stuff. But when it's time to really tell them love, I just love you. See, exactly that. You know what I mean? When you're sharing your love with somebody, it's more intimate. It's more personal. It is softer. That's why many things.
Thank you, later.
That's why many times when we worship, it's softer. You know, when you look your wife in the eye and you say, I just want you to know I love you. Or you can look your wife in the eye and say, love you! There's a difference. Just like if you never tell them anything. There's a difference. You know, there's a time to be sensitive. There's a time to be soft. And many times worship is that soft place where it's just you and him, man. Just you and God. Talking and you're thanking him for who he is in your life and who he is as he is God. And when you do that, man, you step into that Tehillai. Some of you have never stepped into Tehillai because you've never stepped into Barak. You've never worshipped. When worship comes, you get uncomfortable. You don't know what to do with yourself. You've never spoken anything out loud to God. And that's where, this is where it begins. This is where you learn right here in Rock Solid Faith. So that you can learn how to worship him. You know, if you're afraid that somebody's going to hear you, go to a corner somewhere. Get in your chair, turn around, kneel down, and just sing. Just talk to Jesus right in your chair. It's not the posture of your physical body, it's the posture of your heart. And he longs to hear from you, man. He loves you. Your father, your daddy, I mean daddy, remember, he told us to call him Abba Father, which is the most intimate Aramaic word for daddy. Daddy. And when you start talking to him that way, and you start sharing your heart with him, and you start loving on him, I want you to know that everything shifts in your life. I mean, it's a whole nother level. It is swimming in the presence of the Lord. And when you start swimming in the presence of the Lord, you can get to that place where you're submerged and the only air, this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. Didn't say I was a singer. This is the air I breathe. You see, when you get into the presence of the Lord and the tangible anointing starts to increase because you're worshiping, you can literally breathe in his presence. Because God, just like the word glory means a heaviness, a weightiness of his presence. You can get so heavy in his presence that moving, you can actually feel him when you're moving. You can actually hear him speak and whisper in your heart. You can actually breathe in the presence of the Lord. That's not weird or fake or super spiritual. That's reality. What do you think you're going to do when you get to heaven? You see, when you're worshiping, you're bringing heaven to earth. You're asking heaven to show up where you are. Because what do you think you're going to do in heaven, man? You're going to worship him. I'll bow before the Lord our God, our Maker. You see, when you are totally engulfed in his presence, you are tasting heaven. And it is awesome. That's why when you really get into the presence of the Lord, you can go hours and they feel like minutes. You transcend lateral time and you step into eternal time. That only happens through praise and worship. And that's where God wants to take us. But he can't take us if we're not willing to go. And he can't take us if we don't know where we're going. Don't you remember in the book of John chapter 14, Thomas said, well, where are you going? Jesus said, where I'm going, you can't go. Well, where are you going? If you don't know where you're going, you're going to have a hard time getting there. So this class is so powerful because right now we're teaching you how to get there. And you don't have to wait to get there for a Sunday morning. You can get so deep in the presence of the Lord, so thick in the anointing of God. You can be so submerged in the glory of God in your car, in your shower, in your bed, in your living room. No matter where you are, you open up the waters and get past the ankles. Oh my goodness. You can get saturated, enveloped, encapsulated. I love these words because you can put pictures to them. You can be totally enthralled. What's enthralled mean? It means there's not one part that's not covered. And that's what he wants to do for you. But that comes through you and I praising, worshiping. You know, part of that is the manifestations and positions. Number one, the position of your heart. You cannot be thinking about the roast and praising him at the same time. How many have ever tried that? I'll be honest. Yes.
But sometimes when you're trying to pray or worship,
Yep. Sometimes when you're trying to praise and worship.
Something will just come in my head. Yep.
All of a sudden, thoughts start coming in your head when you're starting to, you're trying to focus on the Lord and your mind starts going nuts. Have a pen and a piece of paper by, because you can eliminate that distraction by writing it down in 2 seconds. It always is a great debunker. And what happens is it takes probably 10 minutes to arrest your flesh. Sometimes you got to talk to your flesh. Shut up. Mind, the Bible says you got to come into subjection. I'm not focusing on anything else in this world, but I'm focusing on Jesus. And sometimes there's a fight there, but that's okay, because that means when you break through, you can go all the way up to knee deep quick. And so I'm a person too where I have a really hard time concentrating. Like I write books. When I write a book, I have to go to Barnes and Noble's in the middle of the busyness, put earbuds in my ear. Immediately I can concentrate because I have to focus. But if I go up to my man cave and start to write, it can take me up to 2 hours to be focused enough to write one sentence. Because my mind is shooting. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to be here. I got to be there. You got to arrest yourself. And you can. Praise will always arrest your flesh. Start praising right out loud. And when something starts to shoot in, shoot it right back out. Remember, birds will fly around your head, but you don't have to let them nest in your hair. Great question, though, because other people are experiencing that. Now, another thing is, instruments are a big part. Remember the Zamar. So, you know, when you get to the place that you can't, you've done everything you can, throw some worship music in. Myself, I have the guitar up in my man cave, and I'll just sit there and I'll play sometimes for a half hour. And no one's there, no one's up there, no one can hear me, it's just me and Jesus. And I'll have just a great time. I did a whole blood medley the other day. Do you realize that if you're having struggle breaking through in praise and worship, sing about the blood of Jesus. Drives the devil's nuts. The best. There's another thing where you sing out loud. Psalms 149:1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Raising your hands. The Bible says to do that, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or malice. Psalm 63, 3 and 4. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Shouting to the Lord. People get nervous with the shout. I don't know why. You know, you had no problem shouting at your kid. The Bible says, make a joyful noise, Psalms 100, verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Clapping your hands, even if you don't have rhythm. Psalms 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Dancing before the Lord. This is really funny. You know, a lot of churches never see anybody dance before the Lord, and if they do, they get all uptight. Dancing before the Lord, some of you were great dancers. Some of you were break dancers. Some of you were really bad basket dancers. You know, you put a lampshade on your head. Some of you moved in really bad ways, dislocated limbs, the whole thing. Everyone, it was an old saying was this, was, well, you know, if you're going to dance before the Lord, make sure you're dancing in the Spirit. What? Because the last I realized, you're in the physical body. Mm-hmm. Now, is there a difference between dancing in the flesh and dancing in the Spirit? Absolutely. What happens is, though, you always have to start in the flesh. You got to get your body moving, eh? So if you don't move your foot like this even, don't worry, you're never going to dance. If you never raise your hands, you'll never dance. Well, I don't want to dance. Let me tell you, you've never felt the ultimate freedom before the Lord until you dance before the Lord. Well, I'm really nervous about that. Then do it at home. Dance before God at home. Man, it just breaks all timidity. It busts down any any aspect of fear. It just busts you loose as an individual. It allows you to worship God with every fiber of your being. Man, because some of you used to dance until they had to pick you up, carry you off the dance floor, and then they placed you over in a booth hoping that someone would find you before morning. But you won't even move before Jesus. I'm telling you, there is a liberty and a freedom. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, 14 and 15, "And David, the king of all of Israel, danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing his linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet." Psalms 150 verse 4, "Praise him with the timbrel and praise him with the dance." May I tell you something? I challenge you to do something this Sunday in praise and worship you've never done before. Maybe you've never moved your toes. Move a toe. Maybe you've never lifted your hands. Maybe you've only ever gone half-mast. Go all the way, man. The lights are dim. We do that for you. It doesn't do nothing for Jesus. Here we send out that little cloud of smoke. For you. It doesn't do nothing for Jesus. Do something you've never done before in praise and worship. Maybe shout for the first time. Maybe when you hear me shout hallelujah, you go, hallelujah! Scare yourself. You'll be all right. Do something you've never done in praise and worship this week. Do it first tomorrow, though. Do it first tomorrow, not in church. Do it in your prayer closet, whether it be in your car. Some of you travel an hour or so to work. Man, that's the greatest place in the world. Just don't close your eyes and praise and worship. I got a story about that. I was on my way of a missions trip up to northern Quebec, and I was with this dude, and there was four of us in the car, and we're on our way up driving, and I look over, you know, we're playing praise and worship, and the presence of the Lord is filling the car, and I look over, and he's closing his eyes while he's driving. One hand's up in worship. I slapped him. Schwack! I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I just trust the Lord." I said, "Well, trust the Lord with your own life. Keep your eyes open." But here we are, man. You got to do it. You need to do it tomorrow. Just you and Jesus. That means some of you got to take some time for God. "I'm too busy." Then you're too busy. "Well, I've got too much to do in the morning." Then there's always a night. And you wake up early. "Well, I'm not a morning person." Yeah, honestly.
"Spirit wakes you at 3 in the morning."
Well, I don't like it when he does that. I've talked to him about that, and I said, "Don't do that to me anymore." But you know, it takes sacrifice to get from the Lord what you want sometimes. You know, and many of you don't know this, but this young lady, she travels an hour and a half, to be at a Rock Solid Faith. One way. We have a whole group of people that travel from Mansfield every Sunday morning. And you know what? They're always hungry. Well, why? They paid the price. Yeah, we got people that live a mile down the road that can't make it to church every week. I want to beat them with a stick. In the name of the Lord, of course. And in love. But you see, we've got to get hungry again for Jesus. And hunger doesn't start in the church service. All this needs to happen before. You need to be doing this every day. No matter where you are, start to praise and worship. And you're going to find the atmosphere and attitude of your life will change. Because God really loves being where you are. Not just you want to be where he is, he wants to be where you are. Amen? Amen. The last is the glory. I can't wait. And we've seen the glory cloud here a few times. I remember one time there were five men in the back of the church. And they ran up and they said, "Pastor, did you see that?" And I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Five men literally saw the glory cloud, or the presence of the Lord was so thick it looked just like a cloud in the back of the sanctuary. We're not talking crazy men. We're talking really solid men in this church. And literally, they walked into the cloud and then back out of the cloud. The cloud, the presence of the Lord was so thick that they could walk into the cloud and out of the cloud. And you see this in 2 Chronicles chapter 4, I believe it is, where the glory was so thick that the priests couldn't even stand in the presence of the Lord. Our hunger here at His tabernacle is not just for us to have a little touch of heaven, but I want the glory of heaven to be so strong in this building that people who hit the top of the driveway will automatically feel the presence of Jesus. That if they're in the sanctuary and they have a need or situation, the glory of God, the weightiness of God will come and touch them in a way that they'll get a miracle standing in their seat just because the glory of God is so thick. Amen. I can't wait for the service, and I've been praying for it. I've said it in the cloud before. I'm believing God that one day I'm going to stand up there, just release the power of God, and everybody in the whole congregation is going to go out in the Holy Ghost at the exact same time, even the catchers. Glory to God. I'm believing the Lord because I believe this, that we don't need another church. Amen. We don't need another religion. We need Jesus. Amen. And Jesus only comes when He's invited. That's why there are many churches who still to this day have never had the presence of the Lord come in their church. Well, I don't know about that, Pastor. Really? Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him and he with me. We forget who that was written to. That was written to the church of Laodicea, not to sinners. There are many people that have locked Jesus out of the church, and He stands on the outside church knocking to come back in. But people don't want Jesus in His in their church because He creates messes. They fell down. What does that mean? Oh, my goodness. These people are all raising their hands. They're just crazy. Did you hear them speak in tongues? Oh, my goodness. In tongues? They're babbling, aren't they? I don't know if I believe in that. What happens is this. The presence of the Lord always creates a mess. I like God's messes. They're getting me ready for the North Country. Because I love being in His presence. There's nothing better. Religion sucks, but God is amazing.